Certainly glad everybody's here tonight. And I don't know whether Jeff looked at what I was going to preach on tonight, but he led that song, Send the Light. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, Even so, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, Jesus wanted his disciples, and that includes us, to understand that they had a special, and we have a special responsibility to act as an example to the world. And that light that we have, that Jesus Christ gives to us, is to affect all who are around us. All who are in the church are to be an example, a light, a strength to others. And of course, they also for us, and when we fall short and we need a guiding light, we need to be able to look at each other for strength and help and life in this life, and to be able to draw closer to the Lord. And as Christians, we have a responsibility, whether it's in business or school or recreation, in the home, wherever it may be, to let our light shine. Now, we have to understand the light that we have is not because of our greatness and our goodness, but it's because of how great Christ is. He is our light, and we are to reflect the light that He gives to you and me. We cannot be a Christian who is truly trying to be faithful to God without being an influence on others for the Lord. We all will do that. We may be able to teach someone, or we may simply be able to help them in some necessity of life, or even the very basic things that we think are very important. But when we set that example and we show that Christ is important in our life to teach and to serve others and to lead them to the Lord, then we are letting our light shine. We cannot be a Christian and truly not exert some kind of influence on those who are around us for right and for good. And of course, sometimes when we fall short, unfortunately, our light does not shine, and we lead people away from the Lord. So we have to be very careful about it. But we look at this passage that we read a moment ago. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, Even so, let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, he's not talking about, you know, a bright light shining in somebody's eyes. He's talking about the light that leads us in the right way, or we would lead others in the right way. Now, we may not have lights here in a moment, so we will see. But because light, there are certain things and qualities of light in physical light that we see and make a spiritual application to it. First of all, light is a purifying of power, whatever it may be. Now, we may not fully understand that, but for example, many hospitals are built where sunlight will come in to the patient's rooms, and you might think, well, what good would that do? Well, it helps the emotional state of those who are ill, because sunlight naturally causes us to be on a better plane and a better light, better thought in our minds and hearts. And then that aids recovery. Now, doctors have proved that, you know, our state of mind is an important part of recovering from even physical illness. And so light is part of that. We as God's people, as Christians, we have to be willing to be that light, and that light can purify the lives of others. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, Do all things without complaining and disputing. Well, if we just stop there, that would be kind of opposite the light. You know, that would be darkness and everything. But he says in verse 15, verse 14, Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And we may not think of ourselves as lights of the world, but in Christ, that's what we are. That's how God views us. and he wants us to continue to live in that kind of way. And we can't effectively hold forth the word of life unless we shine our light by the way that we live, by the way that we teach, by the example that we set, and the encouragement we give to others. And so that's a way to purify the lives of others by doing that for ourselves and dedicating ourselves to be a light for others who are around us. And we collectively, as the church, need to be the light in our community, to shine the light of Christ to those who are around us. Light also brings hope. The dawn of each new day is often used as a symbol of renewal from what had been and the difficulties and problems of the darkness and the night. And the sun comes up and it's the idea is here is a new day, a new opportunity. The rising of the sun is even used in the Bible in that kind of thought, that the rising of the sun gives new opportunity, a new day to live and to serve and be faithful. And Jesus used that idea, as we read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, even so, let your light so shine before men. In other words, we are to be that light and to be an example and a help to others. Jesus and the knowledge he brings to the earth, in one sense, is the only real, true light in the spiritual realm that we have. Now, he provides for us, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars and electricity for lights and such. And then that's all right. That's in the physical realm. In the spiritual, the one true light is Christ himself. And we reflect that light by our faith and our service to him. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, Paul says there, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be made void. So Paul, in other words, he says, Christ sent me as a light to the world around. And if I don't preach that gospel, if I don't live it and be faithful and try to teach it to others, then that light is not going to shine. It's not going to be taken to the world. And then that's why Jesus gave the Great Commission. You know, we're to take the gospel and preach and teach it as best that we can to whatever opportunity and ability we have. And when we do that, we are shining the light of Christ to other people who are lost and in the darkness of sin. In Titus chapter 1, there the Apostle Paul in verse 1 says, the knowledge of the truth which is according to the godliness and the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. So the word of God says we have to be willing to spread that word and that message and bring it to the world that is around us to bring that light. Light also brings a clarity of sight and understanding. Now, physically, we understand that, but spiritually, sometimes maybe we don't understand it as much. In a dark night, we're unable to see, you know, faces or colors or discern forms that are around us. We can maybe see a little bit, but not very much. But when the light comes, we can see clearly and distinguish between those things. And that's in the physical realm. But every individual Christian, as well as a responsibility, as well as the church collectively, to be a light to the people around us and to the community in which we live. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul says the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Another translation from in that says it is the support and foundation of the truth. You know, that's what we have to be if we're going to be God's people. The truth has to be the foundation of everything else upon which we teach the message of God. Christ has to be set forth by us as the only true hope of the world, because that's who he is. There is no other truth of the world, and there is no hope of the world unless Christ is there. I heard someone say one time that the only true and lasting good news that's ever been in the world is the coming of Christ, because everything else depends upon his coming to be true and right, not only now, but for all of eternity. In Romans 5, 8, the Apostle Paul says, God commends his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, God sent Christ to shine that light of salvation in a world that's totally lost and dying in sin in the first century A.D. And he did that so that he could bring the message of salvation to you and me. And so that's why, again, we go back to Mark 16. Jesus gave the Great Commission. He says, go therefore and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. There's the light of salvation that is given to us. And the other part of that is the one that doesn't believe, that he's not going to be saved eternally. He's going to be lost eternally. So light brings a clarity of sight and understanding to us physically, but also spiritually. Light also opposes darkness and evil. You think about that for a moment. In John 3 and verse 19, Jesus is talking about his coming into the world, and he said, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. Well, why did they love the darkness more than the light? Because darkness simply covers up the evil that people do. That's why most crimes are committed at night, because people aren't there to see them. And so it's simply easier to hide and cover our activities that are wrong if it's done in the dark or out away from where the light is. So when the light of the gospel is turned on people's lives, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to repent and cease from doing evil and turn to the Lord, or they're going to reject the light and they're going to suffer the eternal consequences of it. So there's a choice that has to be made. If repentance and obedience comes, they're going to be blessed now and for all of eternity, because they have changed their lives through Christ, and now they're going to be a light to the world around them. In Acts 2 and verse 38, the people on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached to them and told them that you have crucified the Son of God, and in some ways, the darkest act that's ever been done by human beings was the crucifixion of Christ. And he says, you are responsible for this. This one that God has made both Lord and Christ, you crucified. Well, they said, well, what shall we do? In other words, what can we do to remove the guilt of this dark sin that we have committed? And Peter's answer, of course, was repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit, in one sense, is the light which God shines upon us through Christ. And that's the gift that he's going to be with us in our life as we live every day. The guilt of sin has to be removed by the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if people reject the gospel, there is also the other side of that. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8 says, when he comes again, he will render vengeance to them that know not God. In other words, they do not accept the light that he has given. They know not God, and that they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be lost eternally. If they don't know God, they refuse to know God. Romans 1 says the Gentiles in the early times refused to have God in their knowledge. It says if they do that and they do not obey the gospel of Christ, then they're going to be lost eternally. So to reject the light of God, the light of Christ, is to reject the opportunity for eternal salvation. Light also attracts that which is good. Now, light opposes darkness and evil, which we just said, but also attracts that which is good. Jesus recognized that, and he taught about it. In John chapter 3 and verse 21, John 3:21, he says, but he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they may have been wrought in God. Now that's in direct contrast to John 3:19, where he says, men love the darkness more than the light because their works are evil. Well, John 3:21, he says, he that does the truth and comes to the light, he says, he is his works are going to be manifest. In other words, people will see them, and in doing so, they have been brought to be worked through the work of God. The Bible tells us several occasions that God works through us to accomplish His will. So we have a responsibility to do that. God will not forget the good that we do in His service. And sometimes maybe we have the idea that God just wants us to be lost, that He is a powerful God, and yet He just waits for us to do something wrong so that we can be punished. I've talked to people who had that concept of God. Well, that's not what the Bible says about God. That's not the way God is towards us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." But why would our labor not be in vain in the Lord? It's because God does not forget that we're trying to serve Him, that we're trying to be faithful to Him, that we're doing the best that we can even when we fall short. But if we try to be steadfast and not moved away from the truth and abounding in the work of the Lord as much as we possibly can, we know that we have the blessing of God that's going to be upon us. And He's not going to give up on us. He's not going to turn His back on our faith and our service to Him. He is going to make sure that we have the blessings of life, and He continues to bless us now and for all of eternity. But also, light will remove stains. You know, you think about that for a moment. Sunlight can actually, of course, we realize it can fade fabric. It can do all kinds of things like that and take out stains from garments. But we have to understand that Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 32, He says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Sometimes we just leave that verse as it is, but if you go back to the previous verse, Jesus said, "If you're truly my disciples, then you'll abide in me, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we abide in the work of God, in the service of God, and in the faith. And through that knowledge, God's Word gives us the light and the understanding that we need to be faithful to Him in all things. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren." It says, "You have purified your souls in obedience to the truth." That's when the light of the gospel comes in to our mind, our heart, and our life. And He says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth to unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Unfeigned means there's no, it's true and faithful. There's nothing untrue about it. It's complete and full. He says the light of which God gives through the gospel is going to shine in our life as we go about every day of life. And the way we live, the way we speak, the way we try to teach others, the way we deal with other people in love and kindness. Now, our example is often the only Bible that some people will read. And they will see if we're doing one thing and living one way and teaching some other way, they're going to know the difference. But if both are the same, it's going to be right before God. In Acts chapter 1, we find that the writer there says that he began to talk about things Jesus began both to do and to teach. So what Jesus did, He taught. What He taught, He did. There is no difference between those two things. And that's the idea here. That's why in Matthew 5:16, we go back to that for a moment. It says, "Even so, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And we're to let our light shine every day we live, both collectively as the church and individually as God's people. Someone said, as the moon reflects the light of the sun, which is a greater light, so we have to reflect the light of Christ, who is the spiritual life that gives us life now, every day. The Bible says in Acts 10, verse 38, that Jesus went about doing good. He didn't just talk about good. He did that. He did talk about it. He didn't just tell us that that's what we need to do. He set the example. So we have to be faithful to the Lord. We have to be unselfish as best we can in sacrifice and concern about the spiritual and physical welfare of others who are around us. And when we do that, God's going to bless us. Now look for a moment at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse back to verse 14 through 16. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the, or you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul wrote to them and says, you do this so that I will know that my work that I've done among you is not going to be in vain, that you're going to remain faithful. You're going to be the light. Now, Paul, when he wrote this, was in prison, and he knew that he might be put to death. He didn't know, he didn't have a promise of even another day of life. He says, I want you to continue to shed that light and take that light with you as you live each day. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, he said, take heed to yourself and to your teaching and to continue in these things, for in so doing you shall save both yourself and those that hear you. So he says, Timothy, you hold on to these things, and as you're teaching, as you're living and being faithful, you're going to save yourself for doing what is right, and you're going to save others because they will follow your example. And what is our responsibility then? 1 John 1, 7 says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In other words, everybody in Christ. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The light of Christ cleanses us every day by the blood which he shed on the cross. But we have to make the decision. We have to decide that we're going to follow him to the best of our ability. And that opportunity is open for us every day. And tonight, if you have a need in your life, if you need to come for whatever reason it may be, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.